VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on VSiN Primetime. I'm Scott Satterberg with you here on the Sports Betting Network. We have about 2 minutes to go in the first period. The Florida Panthers with a 2-1 lead over the Edmonton Oilers as Leon Draisaitl opened up the scoring in the first minute of the game. As then Sam Bennett gets credit for the second goal, tying it for the Panthers. Brad Marchand on the power play puts the Panthers up 2-1. 2 minutes left, as I mentioned, in the first period. Panthers lead 2-1. Live line right now, Panthers -175, live total of 7.5, juiced at -135 to the under. And we have cashed our best bet. Leon Draisaitl has already gone over his 2.5 shots on goal, 3 shots on goal for Draisaitl. Let's welcome in on the Progressive guest line our hockey analyst over here at VSiN.com. Jonathan Davis does an incredible job with his write-ups each and every day for these games, and he joins us now to talk about what we're seeing here in the first period and beyond. JD, what have you noticed so far about the first 20 minutes of play as we got about a minute left here in the first period?
Well, you know, it's pretty much gone to form. I mean, for me, like, I'm not surprised that we've had 3 goals. I think part of it is just, you know, teams can be a little rusty after, you know, having 5 or 6 days off. Nothing that I've seen so far has surprised me. You know, Sergei Bobrovsky's made a couple of big saves to keep it at 2-1. That never surprises me, and can't fault Stuart Skinner for either of the goals. I'm just looking forward to a great series, and the guys that are scoring are the ones that I expected.
Well, Leon Draisaitl had a stat correction just applied, so he only has 2 shots on goal now, and one of those shots does count now as a missed shot. It's like my favorite thing, and you know it, JD, you bet these games every single night. Like, we see it all the time that somehow we get a stat correction at the end of a period where it's like, yeah, we originally said it was a shot on goal, but it deflected off of somebody's stick, so we're going to take it away from you.
My favorite was earlier in the playoffs when Zach Hyman finished the game with 9 hits, and at least an hour later, it went to 10. I'm like, did he hit his mother on the way to the locker room? I don't know, but as someone who, you know, like, I haven't had an opportunity to bet on hits, but yes, the stat correction for shots on goal is a real. Yeah, it really messes with me.
And the worst is when it hits the post, because then it doesn't count as a shot on goal, even though you beat the goalie. But it literally hits the goal. It's just not a shot on goal.
I understand, but you know, there's a great line from Tom Barrasso, the former goalie of the Pittsburgh Penguins and Buffalo Sabres, and he said, "What? You want me to stop the shots that didn't go in? Weren't going to go in the net?"
Fantastic. Tom Barrasso, one of the great southpaw goalies, one of the great backwards-handed goalies of all time there. All right, JD, this first period is about to come to a close. The total here is at 7.5. Now, at 6.5, I was actually on the under because Stanley Cup finals usually aren't this high scoring in terms of the game, like the game line. Like, we've only seen 3 games, and you have to go back to 2013 to find games that are lined at 6.5. For the most part, they're 5.5 or 6, and yes, overs do happen, but I just thought that there was value in the under 6.5. Now we see an adjusted line of 7.5. Where would you lean on this live total right now?
Yeah, I would tend to lean to the over. I mean, because I think we're going to at least get to 6. You know, look, if you like Edmonton and you subscribe to the theory that both of us have been riding, the -1.5, then we're going to need to get to 4-2 for Edmonton. So if you like Edmonton to win, I think we're going to at least get to 6. I'm not surprised. I mean, I did like the over 6. Again, I always find that first game back after a long layoff, we tend to see more goals. I would not be opposed to playing over 7.5 in this one whatsoever.
Yeah, you got a plus money price here on the over 7.5, and you might be able to wait a little bit, and maybe you get a 6.5, or, you know, if it drops down a little bit, if there's no goals early on in the first period. But Edmonton right now to come back, plus 140. Florida is minus 180 as we are into the first intermission. Panthers, you can get plus 145 on the minus a goal and a half. And you've talked about this so much here on VSiN, JD, and you write it up all the time.
both of these, if you play both teams minus a goal and a half, because these games are being decided by two or more goals more times than not, would you, after this first period, now go back in and take a plus 145 on Panthers minus one and a half, and even, how about this, plus 410 on the Oilers minus a goal and a half? I know they're trailing, but still a lot of hockey left to be played.
Well, I've already got the Oilers at plus 176 at minus one and a half. But look, if you do feel the Oilers are going to win, yeah, I would grab the plus 410. I would make it a smaller play for sure. Yeah, I wouldn't have it. I think if you're going to play Edmonton, I would definitely go jump in at the minus one and a half and plus 410. I'd have no problem. But for me, I would make that maybe like a quarter unit play, Scott.
Sure. Yeah, I just think it's fascinating the numbers that you've seen throughout this entire Stanley Cup playoffs of the games that have been decided by two or more goals. After one...
Just to that point, yep. Just so the listeners know, we're at 11 straight games, two or more goals, 10 of the last 11, three or more goals, and 20 of the last 22, two or more goals.
My goodness. And last year's Stanley Cup final, five of the seven games decided by two or more goals. So it's not like it's unprecedented between these two teams.
No, not at all. And I think that, you know, as you get later in the playoffs, look, teams are going to start to pull their goalies a little more. And that's another thing to look for in the series, Scott, is that, you know, we've had an empty net goal in the last four playoff games here in the Cup final and six of the last 11. You know, and again, I'll play both teams for an empty net goal. You know, pre-flop, it was Edmonton, I think, was at about plus 280, and the Panthers were at plus 320. So it's better to play both teams, you know, play the team to score an empty net goal as opposed to just an empty net goal being scored at plus 110. You get a far better price.
Love that. I was talking to our very own Jonathan Davis, our betting analyst when it comes to the NHL. Read his work up on vsin.com. JD joining us here in the first intermission on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's VSIN Primetime. After one period, DraftKings has now adjusted the Conn Smythe odds. So I don't know if you've seen this yet, JD, but you got Connor McDavid has been adjusted to plus 130 as the favorite. Sergei Bobrovsky goes from plus 250 before the game to now plus 220. Sasha Barkov goes down from plus 550 to plus 500. Leon Draisaitl plus 850. And Sam Bennett, who at one point this week you could have gotten at 30-1 with that goal in the first period, is now plus 1800. His 11th goal of the playoffs. He leads all scorers with goals in this playoffs.
Yeah, well, I got Sam Bennett at 39-1. So I'm pretty happy about that. Nice little value there. Look, even at plus 220 for Bobrovsky, you know, look, it's not a great price. I mean, you know, I wrote up, I've got Bobrovsky at plus 850 that I did prior to the third round of the playoffs. But look, what I tell people is that anytime you can double up on your money, why wouldn't you do it? I mean, it's not the best price, but if I can double my investment, I would do it. I mean, Bobrovsky, I would still grab Bobrovsky at that price.
Yeah, I think that it's much, and I recommended this, and I'm telling you if you agree, that if you liked Florida to win this series, I recommended don't take the plus 110 on Florida to win the series. Take the plus 250 on Bobrovsky to win the Conn Smythe, because I just find it hard to see anybody else winning it if Florida wins the cup, just because of the way, at least in my handicap, how the games would have to play out. Because if it is a higher scoring series, I think that favors Edmonton. And if the Panthers win because it's a lower scoring series, that's because Bobrovsky did his thing and he would get the nod.
I think that, yeah, I do buy the reasoning behind it. You know, I still, you know, from a value standpoint, I really felt that Sam Bennett leading the Panthers in goals was, you know, I talked with Mitch and Pauly today about the fact, you know, they were going to play Bennett to lead, you know, to score three or more goals or to lead the series in goals in the playoffs. I said, don't do that. If you feel he's going to lead the series in goals, then I would play him to win the Conn Smythe. Mm. So those are the two guys for me still, even at 18-1 for Bennett, if you're saying that that's where it's dropped, I still think that's worth, you know, that's still great value.
Well, for my Draisaitl Conn Smythe, I'm not happy that Bennett scored, because that was my handicap on Draisaitl, was that he was the odds-on favorite to lead the series in goals, and I figured if he leads the series in goals, I'm not going to bet the plus 275 on him to lead the series in goals. I'm going to take him to win the Conn Smythe.
Totally agree. Yeah, no, I think, again, the logic behind that makes a lot of sense, and I think that, you know, that would be the way to go. I mean, I really felt that Connor coming into this series was the odds on choice. Yes, he was the leader. You know, he had the shortest odds. I get it. I know that ESPN's Greg Wyshynski did a poll, and Connor was the overwhelming choice to this point for Conn Smythe. He scored the two biggest goals in the Dallas series. I get it. But as you were pointing out earlier on, Kim Erfurt's here in our interview or when we were chatting before I came on, I mean, Leon only 1 point behind Connor before this series started. The value's tremendous on Dreisaitl as well.
I know you placed a couple of bets, as we read on VSiN.com, on both the double result, the Oilers to win game one and win the series, but also the Panthers to win game one and the Oilers to win the series. So if the Panthers win here tonight, you have that bet already in pocket with the Oilers to win the series, but would you recommend, if somebody hasn't bet so already, jumping in on the Oilers if they lose game one tonight?
Yeah, I mean, look, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's wishful thinking on my part. I still think the Oilers will come away and win this series. You're going to get a better price on them tonight if they do lose game one. So, sure, why not? You're going to get a good plus price on them.
JD, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the second period. Enjoy the rest of the game. And we'll catch up as we progress throughout this series.
All right, Scott. Thanks for having me. Take care.
There he is, our very own Jonathan Davis, our VSiN NHL betting analyst. You got to read his work at VSiN.com. Get you the bets for every single game. And with the Stanley Cup here, ProfitX, our partner, offering the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX, a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. It's the first of its kind in the U.S., so you're making your picks against other groups of fans. And right now, you can download ProfitX and use promo code VSiN, earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. This is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We roll on here, VSiN Primetime. I'm Scott Sadenberg with you on the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. Second period will get underway shortly in Edmonton. The Panthers with a 2-1 lead over the Oilers after one. Live line right now, Panthers minus 180. Live total 7.5 is juiced to the under at minus 154. Tomorrow it is game one of the NBA Finals in Oklahoma City, where the Thunder are now up to a 9.5-point favorite over the Indiana Pacers. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line to talk more NBA Finals is the very one and only Jonathan Von Tobel, co-host of Money Moves here on VSiN, and one of the very best when it comes to the betting the NBA. JVT, thanks so much for giving us a couple minutes here. When I first saw this line at 9 and even getting up to 9.5, I thought, man, this is too much for an NBA Finals, right? But then I actually looked it up, and we've had 7 games in the NBA Finals that have featured 9-point favorites. They've all won. They're 7-0. 4-2-1 against the spread, but they're 7-0 straight up. But the thing I found fascinating is they're all dominating the first half, winning by almost 9 points in the first half. Do you think that's something that we can take into this game and handicap it to think that the Thunder jump out to an early lead?
Yeah, I think that would make some sense. I think especially what would help you there is I don't think Indiana is going to be ready for the level of defensive intensity that they are going to face here against Oklahoma City. If you look at the level of opponents that they have faced in every single round, they have not faced a team anywhere near what they're going to face here. OKC is small, but they're physical. I've likened them to the old Legion of Boom Seahawks teams because they'll grab you on every single play and just force the officials to, you know, call a foul on every play, which obviously they won't do. I think it's going to be a little bit of a shock to the system to see how many guys are going to be up in their jerseys and what they're going to have to deal with. And so I think that will get them off to a pretty slow start. So outside of the trend, I do think that shock to the system would make sense to get OKC off to a pretty strong lead.
I'm going to throw one more trend here to support this bet. So people talk about the long layoff, right? Well, I looked at NBA playoff teams that are on 7 days or more of rest, which is where the Thunder are. Home teams on 7 days or more of rest in the NBA playoffs are 21-5 straight up, 19-7 against the spread. On average, they're 8.5-point favorites, so that lines up with where we are here in this game. And same thing, they are outscoring their opponents by 9 points in the first half. It goes to show you, the whole rest versus rust idea, it's really just something that's made up by the media. There is no rust. The long layoff actually helps these teams.
Well, I would point out we are the media, so I guess that's our fault. But I think you're right, right? Like, yeah, I was telling Stormy, like, the whole thing about, like, teams feeling each other out in the first game, I think that is generally a narrative that is conceived after the fact, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's really something that always happens. And I'm with you. Like, the rest versus rust, look, these guys have played a ton of games. The Thunder have won over 80 games this season so far, both regular season and postseason. I think those dudes would really like a break, and I think that it would really benefit them to get rested and ready to go. So I don't think it'll be something that works against them, especially for a defensive-oriented team, right? Like, going back to what they do so well, if they were like an offensive-oriented, perimeter-oriented jump-shooting team, all right, maybe. But the fact that they make their hay on the other end of the floor, that's not a rest versus rust thing. That's an effort thing, and they're going to put that out there.
This total is at 231. It's insanely high for an NBA Finals game. When you see this number, what was your first instinct on the total, and have you played anything on the total yet for game number one?
So I played it over 229.5 when it first was out there, because I think that the Thunder are going to be more than willing to acquiesce when it comes to the pace that Indiana wants to play with. Look, they're a good transition defensive team. They are a somewhat small team, and both teams actually are pretty small. The Thunder can match pace with really no problem whatsoever. So I think they're going to welcome the chaos that Indiana brings to the table in terms of ripping and running, and they're going to be able to do it. I also think, like, it opens up for, like, a series in which Isaiah Hartenstein really isn't a big part of it, because I think they're going to want to keep Chet out there for the offensive upside. But I think that this is a series where the Thunder will willingly run with Indiana. And having said that, I should note that just because you get a quick tempo doesn't mean you're going to get scoring. And if this Thunder defense shuts down Indiana and they still play at a quick tempo, this might go under. But I felt like, given the fact that both teams are going to be willing to get up and down, Thunder obviously off of steals would get quick buckets, I think that this is one where you're probably going to get this to get over a 229.5. So I still think 230.5 is playable. And I'm willing to bet that we're going to get some buyback by the time we get closer to tip-off tomorrow. You'll be able to play that number.
Yeah, you probably will. Worth monitoring that in the market. Talking to our very own Jonathan Montobel, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, co-host of Money Moves here on VSiN. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It is VSiN Primetime as we're previewing game one of the NBA Finals. As we look at the series as a whole, JBT, 5.5 games. The over is plus 120. The under, minus 140 on DraftKings. How long does this series go in your mind?
So I played exact games, five games at plus 230. I think five is like a fair thing. If you were to tell me, like, hey, make it, I would say, like, I lean a little bit closer. Like, Kelly Bidlin on a numbers game asked me this today. If, you know, you're picking five games, would you say it's more likely to go six or go four if you were picking between those two? And I would say it's more likely to go six, and that's why I give Indiana a game. Because, look, I think one of the things we should point about the Thunder, as you well know, they haven't covered a spread on the road yet this postseason. Mm-hmm. They're only 4-3 straight up. They have been outscored by over 6 points every 100 possessions in non-garbage time. Just playing away from home, they haven't been the same team. Shooting numbers severely declined when they're away from home. And the sample size has kind of grown, and I just don't know why I would trust that that's going to continue. I don't think I'd be shocked if Indiana, with their upside on offense, has a hot shooting night, steals one at home, and this thing ends. So I played the exact five games, and Scott, just to gamble a little bit, because it's the NBA Finals, it's our last series, I did play the exact outcomes. So I had the gentleman sweep, which is Thunder, Thunder, Thunder. They win the first three games. Pacers take game four. Thunder close it out in five. That was about plus 8-1 or 9-1, if I remember correctly.
I love that. I mean, I love that. I mean, and keep in mind, shout out our buddy Matt Moore. That is the true gentleman sweep. Just because a series is 4-1 doesn't mean it's the gentleman sweep. The exact outcome has to be the favorite wins games 1-2 at home. They win game three on the road. They let you get game four in front of your home crowd, and then they win the series in game five. So that exact outcome, you got it north of plus 800. That's fantastic. I got to look at that. That's amazing.
Yeah, you can find it in a couple of spots. And I'm glad you said it. It's one of my bugaboos every year. That is the gentleman sweep. I don't know where we got this, like, any 4-1 score is a gentleman sweep. No, the gentleman sweep is you're on the verge of getting swept, and then you don't, and then you lose the next game. That is a gentleman sweep. You are allowed to have one before we go and annihilate you on the road. I appreciate you spreading the word.
Oh, absolutely. I have to clarify that every time we talk about when it comes to a potential five-game series. All right, let's take a look at the series player prop markets, because I don't think there's any value to play any MVP. We know that Shea's going to win, okay? Yeah. If the Thunder win this series, Shea's winning the MVP. He's minus 600. No one else is winning, barring an injury or whatnot. And if there is, then maybe the Thunder don't even win the series. So I don't find any value in that market. But in the player props market, I think that there is some interesting numbers out there. And one that I'm looking at is Jalen Williams to lead the series in three-pointers at plus 1,100. I think all it might take is one big game from Jalen Williams where he makes six threes or five threes, and he could wind up stealing this from a guy like maybe Neesmith or even SGA. What do you think about that long shot prop?
Oh, I think it makes some sense. I mean, look, we should note that Neesmith, since he injured his ankle in that Knicks series, and since he hit 4 3-point attempts in the last 4 minutes or whatever it was in game one, really hasn't been the same 3-point shooter. He's been a little off. So, look, he's got some time off. Maybe it is the ankle that's bothering him. But I don't know if you can continue to shoot at that level. So I don't think it would be crazy to see Neesmith level off in terms of his 3-point shooting. As we know, Shea really isn't a 3-point shooter. So you should be able to surpass him in makes. And Williams has been way better at home. So I do think that makes some sense to play him in that market at that number. I did play a Williams prop for series leader. I took Shea Gilgeous-Alexander to lead the series in assists. Shea's at 5-1. Jalen Williams is a big long shot at 66-1. But I think Halliburton's really mispriced. He's minus 900 to lead the series in assists. And if you look at the numbers for OKC's defense, they have severely cut into their three postseason opponents' assist rate on the year. They've been incredible in limiting those opportunities. They're going to be able to stay home. The assist opportunities aren't going to be there for Halliburton. And I think it opens up the door for Shea or for Williams to steal that from him. I think Shea is obviously the better play at 5-1, the more likely one. But I don't think it's crazy to get Jalen Williams, who's a very good pure assister. He's on the floor at 66-1 either for a super long shot if you want it.
How about some of these crazy lines we have out there? To average 30 points per game in the finals, Shea is minus 450. ridiculous pricing. But here's an interesting angle when it comes to these per game props. If you believe it's going to be a short series, four games or five games, that's less variance. So it might take just one big game from somebody to then skew the averages. Like if we look at Tyrese Halliburton in that Knicks series, if we stopped it after game number four, he averaged over 25 points per game. But then if we throw in the 8-point performance in game number five, you know, game number six and five and so on, it dropped down to 21 points. So I think there might be something here in this per game market if you can look at guys that you might think would go off for one game in whatever stat you want.
Yeah, I was really hoping for some Isaiah Hartenstein props to play under. I just don't think that he's going to have a big role. So I was hoping for some like points per game, rebounds per game for the series. Those were up last year, and I wanted to play those under. But I would agree with you. Like the short series, if we get what we think we're going to get some volatility.
JVT, great stuff, man. We'll be listening and watching Money Moves, and good luck with your bets for game one tomorrow of the NBA Finals.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
There he is, our very own Jonathan Von Tobel. Great work there handicapping the NBA. And, of course, you watch him each and every day on Money Moves alongside Stormy here on VSiN. We are underway. Second period action in Edmonton between the Panthers and the Oilers as the Panthers have just extended the lead to 3-1. We'll tell you about it coming up next here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, it's been an exciting first 5 minutes of the second period here in Edmonton as Sam Bennett scores his second goal of the game, giving the Panthers a 3-1 lead 2 minutes into the second period. But a minute later, Victor Arvidsson scores for the Oilers, and we are back to a one-goal game. The Panthers with a 3-2 lead over the Oilers now with about 14 minutes to go here in this second period. Your live line right now, Panthers minus 200. Your live total is 8.5, minus 175 to the over. And if you listen to Jonathan Davis, our VSiN NHL betting analyst, who joined me earlier here on the program after the first period, we talked about live betting the over at 7.5. Well, right now your live total is at 8.5, as we've had 5 goals scored in the first 25 minutes of this game. So once again, Sam Bennett scoring his second goal of the game. He now has 12 goals here in the playoffs. And I tweeted something out. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Scott's On Air, that Sam Bennett was north of 30-1 to win the Conn Smythe Trophy prior to this game number one. He leads all skaters in goals in these playoffs. He had 10 coming in. The next highest was guys that aren't even playing anymore. The next highest in terms of players that are in this Stanley Cup final was Leon Draisaitl with the 7. Because Mikko Rantanen's got 9, Svechnikov's got 8. Those players are eliminated. So Bennett came into game number 1 with 10 goals. Draisaitl came in with 7. Well, Bennett scores 2 goals here in this game. You could have gotten him at over 30-1 odds And now he has 12 goals leading all scorers here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Draisaitl with the one goal tonight has got 8, but he's still 4 back of Sam Bennett. And during that first intermission, talked about it with Jonathan Davis. The odds shifted after the first period. Now, the market's not up now because we're in play. But after that first period, actually, the market is back up. You could have gotten Sam Bennett at plus 1,800 in between periods. Right now, you can get Sam Bennett at plus 1,200. So you still get a plus 1,200 price on Sam Bennett to win the Conn Smythe if that's a play you want to make right now, as he has 2 goals in this game, number one. Now 12 goals through this Stanley Cup playoffs, leading all scorers, leading Leon Draisaitl by 4 goals. As Draisaitl with a goal tonight, he has 8 now for these playoffs. Looking inside the box score right now, our best bet was the over 2.5 shots on goal for Leon Draisaitl. He was credited with 3 in the first period. Thought that we cashed this. But at the end of the period, stat correction, as it often happens in the NHL, and they determined that one of the shots either missed the goal or deflected off somebody's skate or stick, and it gets credited to somebody else. So Leon Draisaitl sitting with 2 shots on goal right now. So we just need one more shot on goal to cash the over 2.5 for Leon Draisaitl. Victor Arvidsson, meanwhile, with that goal, he has gone over his shots on goal prop. He has 3. Elsewhere, Matthias Janmark's got 1. Kasperi Kapanen's got 2. Connor McDavid's got 1. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins with 2. Corey Perry with 1. And Evan Bouchard with 2. Darnell Nurse and Jake Walman with 1 each. For the Panthers, Sam Bennett has 3 shots on goal and the 2 goals. So cash the anytime goal scorer, cash the 2-plus goals. Wonder what that plus money price was. And he's gone over 2.5 shots on goal with 3 shots on goal already. Brad Marchand, 1 shot on goal, 1 goal. Sam Reinhart, 1 shot on goal. Evan Rodriguez has 2. Matthew Tkachuk has 1. Seth Jones has 1. And Nate Schmidt has 1. So right now, Stuart Skinner has made just 8 saves on the 11 shots against. And for Sergei Bobrovsky, 14 saves on 16 shots against right now, as we are almost halfway through the second period, with the Panthers having a 3-2 lead over the Edmonton Oilers. We're going to keep an eye on what's going on here. Some live betting opportunities possibly presenting themselves as we get closer and closer to the intermission and before we get into the third period. We'll also take a look from an analytical aspect of the expected numbers, what we have seen so far in this game. I can tell you right now, in the first period, so we're going to forget about what happened here in the second period. But if we just look at 5v5 situations in the first period, only 12 minutes and 50 seconds played at 5-on-5, because there was a couple of penalties, power plays, and we even had a 4-on-3. It was a 4-on-4, then a 4-on-3, then a 4-on-4, then a 5-on-4. So a lot of situations here in this game. But at 5v5, the Oilers in that first period, I mean, this is a very even opportunities here. Oilers with 15 attempts to the 14 for the Panthers. Of those attempts, 10 for the Oilers got through, 12 for the Panthers got through. And for the shots on goal, 10 for the Oilers, 5 for the Panthers. High danger chances in favor of the Oilers in that first period in 5v5 only. And the expected goal numbers, 5v5 in that first period, 1.04 for the Oilers, 0.78 for the Panthers. In all situations, though, expected goal numbers, 1.77 for the Oilers, just 1 for the Panthers. And the Panthers did have a 2-1 lead at the end of that first period. So, you know, you look at the expected numbers, Oilers, listen, they've had a little bit better of the play, if you will. And they've had more shots on goal. But the Panthers cashing in, of course, they scored a power play goal, but so did the Oilers. So, I mean, the Oilers, did not score a power play goal. The Panthers scored a power play goal in this one. That was the Brad Marchand goal, scoring on the power play. And the 2 power plays that the Oilers had, I don't really count those, because one was an abbreviated 4-on-3, and the other one was 6 seconds long, I think. So in the box score, it says 0-for-2. They never really had a full two-minute power play where they could, you know, establish the zone and create opportunities to score. So if you look at the box score, it says the Panthers are 1-of-2 on the power play, the Oilers 0-of-2, but I'll argue the Oilers never really had a full power play. 9:25 to go here in the second period. Panthers leading 3-2. So we'll keep you updated on what's going on here in the Stanley Cup final, game number one. And then also, I'm very curious to see what the market's going to be after game number one, regardless of who wins, because we know that this has been an even this was an even series coming in, right? The Oilers, a slight minus 120 favorite for the series, most likely because they have home ice advantage. And I don't think anybody's going to argue that when the series shifts to Florida, Florida is going to be a heavier favorite on their home ice than Edmonton was here in game number one and will be in game number two. I'm very curious, after this game number one result, how the market adjusts to what the lines is going to be for who wins this series. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. You want to bet smarter this football season? Well, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199, plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now, get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to vsin.com/subscribe and use promo code BOOK to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe, and the promo code is BOOK to sign up. Major League Baseball, taking a look at the scoreboard and seeing if there are some live betting opportunities. We are in the top of the ninth inning in the Bronx, and it has been all Guardians against the Yankees as we are now headed to the bottom of the ninth inning. Guardians with a 4-0 lead over the Yankees. Cleveland has gotten 12 hits in this game to just 3 for the Yankees. Emmanuel Clase is on to get the save. Well, it's a non-save situation because it is a 4-0 lead for the Guardians. But Class A is coming in to pitch the bottom of the ninth for the New York Yankees. Ben Rice is going to lead off the bottom of the ninth. It'll be Rice, Judge, Bellinger up for the Yankees in the bottom of the ninth inning against Emmanuel Class A. If you think the Yankees are going to score a run off of Class A, your live total is at 4.5 plus 230 to the over. So you get plus 230 if you think the Yankees are going to score a run off of Class A with, as I mentioned, it'll be Rice, Judge, and Bellinger up for the Yankees in the bottom of the ninth inning. Elsewhere, top of the sixth inning, the Diamondbacks with a 1-0 lead over the Braves. And in fact, the Atlanta Braves, through five innings, have not gotten a hit off of Merrill Kelly. Five innings, seven strikeouts, one walk, zero hits for Merrill Kelly through five innings against the Atlanta Braves. What is it with the pitchers and the no-hitters tonight? We'll update you on everything going on across the Major League Baseball scoreboard coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. It's primetime right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It is VSiN Primetime. I talked about the Major League Baseball scoreboard last segment and said that you could have gotten plus 230 on the Yankees to score a run off of Emmanuel Clase in the bottom of the ninth inning. The Guardians with a 4-0 lead over the Yankees. Clase coming in a non-save situation to pitch the bottom of the ninth. Ben Rice leading off of the Yankees, followed by Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger. And your live total prior to the inning was 4.5 at plus 230 to the over. Well, leading off the bottom of the ninth, Ben Rice reached on an infield single. Aaron Judge then struck out, and Cody Bellinger hits a ground rule double that has now put runners on second and third with one out and Paul Goldschmidt up. Your live total now is at 5.5 plus 165 to the over. Yankees to come back and win is plus 1,600. I don't know if I'm that crazy. I just like the idea of betting the Yankees with Rice, Judge, and Bellinger to score one run off of Class A. Because what we see a lot of times in baseball is these closers that come in non-save situations, they tend to give up runs. And so I thought, hey, plus 230 on the Yankees to score one run in the bottom of the ninth, they're going to come back and win the game. But with 2-3-4 in the lineup like that, I mean, why not give a chance to them to score a run? And right now, we're gonna monitor this at bat here by Paul Goldschmidt. A sacrifice fly would cash that plus 230 if he did play it. So we'll keep an eye on what Goldie does here against Class A with the Yankees trailing 4-0 in the bottom of the ninth against the Guardians. Now, 5 hits for the Yankees. They had, it was a, let's see. Ooh, I think Goldschmidt might have just struck out against Class A. Yep. Paul Goldschmidt strikes out looking. How about that? 3 straight pitches. Strike, strike, strike. Strike swinging, foul ball, strike looking. 100-mile-an-hour cutter, 100-mile-an-hour cutter, 100-mile-an-hour cutter. It now falls on Jazz Chisholm to see if he can drive in a run here, or the game will be end at a 4-0 score in favor of the Guardians. I talked about a potential no-no going on right now. We had a potential no-no earlier where Matthew Boyd of the Cubs went 6 perfect innings before allowing a run in the bottom of the 7th inning. Well, I think he was perfect through 5. I think he gave up a walk in the 6th. Or no, I think everything actually came in the 6th inning, a hit and then a walk. And then he gives up a run in the bottom of the 7th on a solo home run by Ahmed Rosario. He then gives up another run in the bottom of the 8th inning. So Matthew Boyd, who was perfect through 5, had a no-hitter in the 6th, winds up going 7 1/3, 4 hits, 2 runs allowed, 6 strikeouts, and gets the loss as Mackenzie Gore goes 7 shutout innings. And after allowing the first 3 batters to get singles, didn't allow a hit for the rest of the game. So he actually went, if you count it, 7 no-hit innings after allowing 3 hits to the first 3 batters because he didn't record an out yet. So he went 7 no-hit innings after allowing the first 3 guys to get a hit. Well, right now in Atlanta, this game was delayed, so we had a little rain delay here, but Merrill Kelly has gone 5 no-hit innings right now against the Braves. 65 pitches, so I don't know if he's going to go the entire length, but hey, one inning at a time, one at-bat at a time. Merrill Kelly, 5 innings, just 1 walk. So the 1 walk, the difference between a perfect game right now. And how about the strikeout numbers for both of these pitchers? Merrill Kelly, 7 strikeouts. Chris Sale, 10 strikeouts. Sale has gone 5 2/3, allowed 1 run on 3 hits, 4 walks, though, for Chris Sale. It was a Gurriel single that scored Perdomo. Right now, the Diamondbacks with a 1-0 lead going into the bottom of the 6th inning in Atlanta. Live line right now is Diamondbacks minus 160. Live total of 3.5. And you can get plus 125 if you think the Braves are going to come back and win the game. Jazz does not drive in a run as the Guardians finish off that Yankees game 4-0. Cleveland beating the Yankees. The win to Luis Ortiz, the loss to Clark Schmidt. Ortiz obviously did not allow a run. Clark Schmidt gave up 3 runs in the first inning and then settled down, but didn't get the run support as the Yankees only had 3 hits going into the 9th inning. They got 2 hits in the 9th, so they finished with 5. But not a good offensive night for the Bombers there in the Bronx. Bottom of the 7th in Tampa, the Rays with a 5-3 lead over the Rangers. They're in the bottom of the 2nd in Chicago. The White Sox scoring 4 runs in the top of the 1st inning against the White Sox. And pitching matchup here is it was Jared Schuster was the opener for the White Sox. He got tagged for 4 runs on 5 hits in that first inning. Meanwhile, going for the Tigers, Sawyer Gibson Long. He is the starting pitcher for the Tigers in this one. He has made, let's see, this is his first start in the big leagues since 2023. That's right. His first start in the bigs since he made four starts in 2023. In those four starts, 20 innings, so he went 5-5-5-5, seven runs on 14 hits with 26 strikeouts in 20 innings. And he is on the mound here for the Tigers in Chicago, and he has gotten through the first inning clean, now in the bottom of the second inning there in Chicago. Tigers giving him some offensive support here, 4-0, as they have the early lead. No score between the Orioles and the Mariners. Bottom of the first inning there in Seattle. It's Cade Povich on the mound for the O's and Emerson Hancock starting for the Mariners. Padres are at the Giants, top of the first inning. Kyle Harrison pitching for the Giants, and the Padres have two runners on with two outs. Gavin Sheets is up for the Padres right now as they're looking to score early. Going for the Padres will be Nick Pivetta, who's a guy that I always want to back at home versus on the road. I don't necessarily want to fade him on the road. See, that's a different story. Like, you can say that some guys are just bad on the road, or you know, terrible home road splits, whatever you want to call it. And yes, there are guys that they are fade candidates for sure. I don't necessarily want to fade him on the road. I just don't want to bet him on the road. But I do want to bet him at home. Nick Pivetta at home this year, when he pitches in San Diego, he is 5-0 with a 1.69 ERA. Opponents are batting just 164 against him at home. On the road, his numbers balloon to 4.32 ERA. A 4.32 ERA with an opponent's batting average of 245. But this is a dude that also loves pitching at night. His day-night splits are almost as drastic as his home road splits. His during the day, a 4.5 ERA, opponents batting 240 against him. At night, a 191 ERA, 4-0, opponents batting 179 against him. Perfect combination would be Nick Pivetta at home at night. But right now, Nick Pivetta starting at night on the road in San Francisco. We'll see if the Padres can give him an early lead in this one, as they do have two runners on. And they do, in fact, give him an early lead. 2-0 Padres lead, top of the first inning there in San Francisco. Still to come, we got the Twins at the A's. Zebby Matthews on the bump for the Twins, and going for the A's is Justin Sterner. He's going to be the opener, so he's only going to go the first inning, and then we'll see what they do for the remainder of the game. Maybe they let him go too, but he's going to serve as the opener here. And once again, we have a heavy total in Sacramento. Total is at 10. It is minus 112 to the over. Now, I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell everybody. We're playing overs in Sacramento. We had two games already in this series. Both games have gone over. There was a 10-4 win by the A's in game number, or actually both games were won by the Twins. 10-4 and 10-3. So we've had both games go over. This is the first game in Sacramento since they've had, what was a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 game road trip. So now they're back at home, the A's are, in Sacramento. Last time it was 5-4, a 9-run game against the Phillies, 9-6 against the Phillies. They lost, and as I mentioned, 10-4 losing to the Twins and 10-3 losing to the Twins. So I'm going to be on the over once again. And it's at 10, juiced. I don't care. That's where I'm playing this one here. And also, we have the Mets and the Dodgers coming up. I'm going to be on the over in that one as well. We'll go over that coming up next. Hey, Horse Racing's Triple Crown wraps up this Saturday with the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga. You can get in on the action with our friends at First Bet and play in the free First Bet and VSiN Belmont Stakes Pick'em Challenge. Enter your picks for Saturday's races to win great prizes up to a $500 wagering voucher at First Bet. Head over to VSiN.com/Belmont to play. That's VSiN.com/Belmont, the mile and a half at the Belmont Stakes. Going to be fun to watch. Check out what's going on in Edmonton coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime.